Real monsters. Ooh, I actually looked up that quote as you were talking to make sure I got it right.
So I have my mouse and keyboard are like super loud. So real-time research is either impossible to do stealthily, or I have to go back and like edit out the clickety clacking.
Yeah, no, I was like, because as we were talking about it, and I agree 100% with what you said, I was like, this does just feel like such a missed opportunity, right? You know, so I was like, what? And when you said, as we were talking through it, I'm like, there's a quote that's like rattling around like that same sentiment. I was like, oh, it's Obi-Wan talking to Anakin, where it's like, you had so much potential. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. The game would be less disappointing if it was just shovelware.
Right. Like, if it was just bad, you know? But, like, if it was just bad, because then we could be like, this game's bad. But it's like, it's Kaiser Wilhelm.
Say more?
Yeah, no, because it's, if I remember correctly, I think it was, because it's in World War One, right? The prelude to World War One, right? Is so basically a bunch of shenanigans going on, right? And then Kaiser Wilhelm leaves to go on vacation. More shenanigans happen. He comes back to all of the shenanigans, which again, he did not arrest the momentum of. Like, he did a bunch of stuff wrong. I'm not trying to paint him as a hero, but it's like, but in the last moments, he does reach out to Russia to say, like, we shouldn't do this, right? And in the extra credits episode is, you know, he says, like, it says that he, you know, he, one person trying to reach out to try to arrest the momentum of the events about to come. And he comes so close, but he fails. History does not reward his efforts. And the world tumbles inexorably one step closer to world war. You know, it feels like that. It's like, you know, they tried to create a game, you know, that would do justice to Ariel Monsters, and they came so close, you know?
And I presume if I went back and watched the cartoon, I'd be like, oh, I'm super not the target audience for this anymore. But yeah. I mean, I do remember the cartoon very fondly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. there's something else I was going to say on that though. But yeah, no, it's, if it was just, you know, top to bottom garbage, man, it'd be like, oh, thank God, you know, but this was, this is heartbreaking, man. Yeah. But won't be the last heartbreaking game that we play. Do you have anything in mind for the next one?
I mean, I still want to do Mario Paint. Like, I don't want to, we don't have to do that this game, but like, I don't want to forget about it.
No, we need to test whatever weird thing it is you want to test. So actually, I thought about that. We can do that if you're free tomorrow at like 7:30 ish CST. Does that work for you?
Yum.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. Yes.
I know that your kids will still be up, but considering that, well, it's not like a, let's hang out for 3 hours. It's more like a, hey, jump on and show me this thing. Cause that's the time between when Megan's putting the kids to bed and when she's done, you know? So that way I can just jump on and get that done.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing a PlayStation game in a second. You know, whenever we go and look through like backlog games or whatever, there's always some games in here that I'm like, I want to play this, but I also kind of remember it fondly, and I'm like terrified of ruining it. I've been wanting to play Azure Dreams for ages, because I didn't know this at the time, because I didn't understand, you know, like game genres in this level of nuance when I was a kid. But that game is a roguelite. Like, you kind of, as the hero, level up, but you have like a monster that really does all your work for you. But you, if I remember correctly, you have to capture the monster in the dungeon. So as you get more powerful, you can capture and train like a more powerful monster. And then all of the floors, because you're climbing this tower, the goal is to get to the top of the tower, the floors are all randomly generated. And so every time you go in the tower, you have a different monster and it's a different tower. And I just like, you also like, you collect resources and use them to rebuild the town. Like, I remember it being a super interesting game and I didn't really understand like what a roguelite was at that time. And so the fact that it's like, it's, you know what it is? It's in my mind. It's kind of like ActRaiser. If instead of the platforming segment, you had this like monster Pokemon segment. So it's like you have the Pokemon segment and that's half the game. And then you use those resources to rebuild the town, which also helps you on the Pokemon side. And it's like these two things like smashed together. But I've never heard of or played another game quite like it. So there's part of me that's like, maybe it didn't work. Like maybe it was a terrible idea and that's why they never made another game like this.
What if we did Persona?
Which one?
Persona.
The first one.
1996.
Persona.
Revelations : Persona.
So I played the first, I think, three of these. So any of the PlayStation 1 ones would be a nostalgia game for me.
Because I haven't played anything in this series, but people won't stop like shitting themselves about it. So
dude, it is however weird you think it is, it's weirder than that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll commit to either the first or second one, but let me see which one, since you've never played any of them, let me try to remember which one I had the stronger experience with. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like a JRPG, like it's not a short.
Yeah. I'm hoping that I can kind of get a gist for the game. I mean, being honest, like I will probably try my best to get a gist for the gameplay.
Yeah.
In the time period, and then like familiarize myself like with like a walkthrough to see kind of like the visuals, some of the later visuals and plot points. But assuming that a lot of the mechanics are available within the first, which within most JRPGs, like,
yeah,
it's grinding, you know. I'm assuming that it's grindy like most JRPGs.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the thing with a game like that, the question then becomes like, not how different are the mechanics later. It's do these mechanics manage to stay fun for that long, right? Because like the first time I tried to play a Pokemon game, I got like 5 hours into it, and I was like, 35 hours of this? No, nope, not interested. Like 5 hours, fine, not 35 hours.
Well, to that point, right, is that I think that I am at a point in my life where like all of that is any level of grinding has become unacceptable to me, you know? So like,
yeah,
like any extrinsic reward system, I have so little tolerance for. But I'm down to play the other one too, but like I said, like when I was just kind of going through the list, and I saw Persona was on here, and I was like, this to me is because I know a number of times you've said like, oh, this is a black spot on my gamer card where I don't, you know, like I don't have this thing. It's just people, every time somebody says Persona, I'm like, yeah, heard good things about that, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting universe. Like the narrative is super horrifying.
Because the idea is that you're like going inside of people's minds and seeing like how it's their minds personified.
It's been a long time since I played through any of these, but I remember it being more like, everyone has like a demon and some people can control them and like do weird shit with them. The thing that like the mechanic that stands out the most in my brain remembering these games is at least the early ones. I don't know if they kept this into the modern entries, but in the early ones, the people who take actions in combat are the ones who get experience. So if you know, your hero one shots the enemy, they get experience and no one else does because they didn't take a turn. And I just remember that being like, okay, I'm gonna make this guy block so he doesn't one shot all the monsters, just literally so other people will get a turn.
Yeah, that again, it's game, and there's an audience for that, right? I mean, like, games that require you to pour time into them, there, I mean, there's something to be said for that. It's just, who has the time? I mean, but take, like, for example, Civilization VI. Like, I have been playing that now for 2 years, still super playing it, and it's kind of the same game every time, but it's just, I can, like, put my brain in neutral and relax and just do it. Persona may be that, you know, kind of comfort game for whatever, but man, just when all of a sudden it's like, man, I gotta learn a whole new set of things, and now I gotta make this person wait and make this do this in order to maximize this. It's like,
yeah, and woof. Because I'm like, I like turn-based JRPGs. Like, I'm fine with that genre, but I have a very different feeling personally, and I suspect this would be true of pretty much anyone, is like, Civilization is more like, I enjoy chess, and so I will play chess over and over. Mm. I don't feel that way about grindy JRPG combat. Like, you don't go into each grindy fight in a Final Fantasy saying like, oh boy, I get to hold
A. This one might be different.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, in a 60 hour game, like, you need 60 hours worth of stuff that's hopefully not 20 hours worth of stuff plus 40 hours of grinding, mm-hmm. you know? Because like The Witcher 3 or the Mass Effect games or the Elder Scrolls games like Skyrim and stuff, like, those are super long games, but I don't think most people would call them grindy, you know? Whereas like Civilization or SimCity, or I mean, to an extent, even a game like Pokemon, where there's like breeding and stuff, and it's not just about the grindy JRPG combat, like, the thing that makes the game take dozens or hundreds of hours is not grinding. If the thing that makes a game take dozens of hours is grinding, that's grinding. Like, right. I sort those differently in my mind. Like,
and I think that's
replaying Civilization for 500 hours is not, you didn't play one game of Civilization that took you 500 hours. You probably played dozens and dozens of them.
And interestingly too, I've gotten to a point where I don't actually finish most of them. I just get to the point where I have obviously won, and then I just stop playing, you know, because it's like, and Megan said, oh, is there something wrong with that game? I'm like, no, I won. And she's like, oh, I didn't see the win screen. I'm like, well, I didn't technically win. It's just, I have so far outstripped everyone else on the planet that it was just me deciding which way I wanted to win. And well, you would know
this better than me, but it doesn't that happen with chess?
Oh yeah.
Right. Where it's just like, you know, we're both professionals. We're both looking at the board. We can both see that I've won. There's no reason to go through the machinations of five more moves.
Yeah, no, actually, and I think I've shared this with you, but now since for the after show, other people can hear it. there was a one time, because the only way that gets screwed up is if somebody plays aberrantly.
Sure.
And I remember was that I was playing a guy who was so much smarter than me. Just, he was smarter than me in general. He was definitely better at chess than I was. And this was in high school, right? And so I remember that, you know, I saw that I had mate in like five moves, and he was destroying me. I mean, but the thing was that he had decided to make it humiliating. So he was just picking apart, he was taking every piece I had off of the board. But I had mate in like five, then four, then three, then two moves, because it was just two pieces I had towards the back that could challenge him, you know? And I just needed those two. That's all I needed. So he was sitting there ripping my back line apart, you know, and like taking my pawns out and like doing all this sort of stuff. And then I said, you know, mate. He's like, well, I can go here. I'm like, no, you can't. I can go here. No. Let's play again. And I said, no. And he was like, no. That was a fluke. And because he knew what he had done, right, is that he had sacrificed the win to beat me up, right? I was like, no, that's okay. I'm okay with the fact that 100% of the time we've played chess, I've beaten you.
Retiring undefeated.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm good with this record. And then I never played him again. Because to that point is that I was like, any other game we play, I already know the outcome of it, which is that I lose, you know? So what I was going to say though, is I think that perhaps one of the main differences, is between like, in The Witcher, right, is you do gain levels, you do gain new abilities, right? And you can grind to get those abilities, But that doesn't feel the same as like a JRPG grinding, right? Or even as like
whole day to gain experience is a very specific game loop that not everyone is like, this is enjoyable.
Yeah. Which is, I think that one of the main differences, or a main way to frame it, would be the amount of time that passes between when you have discovered a new skill, mastered that new skill, and then discover something new, right? So you discover a new thing you can do, right? And then how long it takes you to then master that new thing that you can do. And then once that mastery occurs, how long until the next new thing you can do, right? So in The Witcher, right, not only do you get new things, abilities fairly regularly, but you then have to, there's something you have to do to execute on them, right? You either have to move, duck, weave, target something, right? It's active. Whereas in a JRPG, the thing you have to do to master that skill is press A, right? You know, like you have to select the skill and then use it. Now, there may be some chess-like things of like where and why and how to use it, but really the execution on it is pretty fast to mastery. So if it's like, I have to sink 3 hours of beating up the same bad guys every time in the exact same scripted thing that's going to happen the exact same way every time in order to get to the new thing I can now do that I will then master in under 10 minutes. And then I'm now stuck in a 2 hour and 50 minute time period between when I've mastered the skill and where I've gotten the new one versus The Witcher, where sometimes there's less than zero. Sometimes you have not finished mastering an existing skill before you have discovered something new and novel. Yeah. And that may be some of the difference between the feel of those two core game loops.
Yeah, and I mean active versus turn-based combat. It's like, if you're going to take the... it's hard to execute these button presses out of it, then you have to put in, like, it's challenging intellectually. Like, you know, when do I use the right skill? There's this one boss in Final Fantasy VI... this is a super common JRPG trope now, but I associate it with Final Fantasy VI, is where they cycle the element that they are currently vulnerable to, but there's a temporary visual indicator, and then there are no more visual indicators. So you have to keep that information in mind so that you are using the correct abilities, because if you do the wrong thing, not only does it not work, if you do the diametrically opposed wrong thing, it will heal them. Oof, right. So like, yeah. So there's a lot of like, yeah, I'm just picking things from a list, but the things I pick from a list really matter. If I accidentally cast fire 3 when I should have cast ice 3, like I may just heal them back to full health. Right. So there's like, and not every enemy, most enemies aren't like that. Right. But there are ways you can take, I am picking options from a menu and still make that challenging when it's not, you know, physically challenging to press the buttons on the controller.